Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's up, After Buzzers? Welcome back to season 2, episode 4, the showdown. Okay, we're talking Ronnie walking these streets, but is he welcome? No. We're talking Emmett getting his hustle on again. We're talking Duda making pizza. All that and more, folks, coming up for you next.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Woo! What's up, party people? Woo-hoo. Hey, hey, I'm your host, Erica Edwards, here to go through the shy with you, but I couldn't do it without my crew, so I would like to welcome everyone. This is Chef Beans, the amazing non-gaseous chef on our midst.
Yes, what a claim to fame.
Right. Yes, the lovely Lauren.
Hello, everyone.
And new, well, not so new because we saw her a few episodes ago, Kitty Kaboom.
What's up?
All right, you guys, we have a great show coming up for you, and we have a special segment. We have news, we have gossip, we have all that and more, so stay till the end, please, party people. All right, you guys, let's take an overview. How did you guys feel about episode 4, Showdown, overall, the entire episode?
Am I starting?
Yeah. We'll start with you, Kitty.
I thought it was awesome. I'm very invested in the show. I think that it really pulls on my heartstrings, and it takes me through a gamut of emotions every week. So I really look forward to seeing it. And this particular show was good because finally Emmett is out, and I was tired of seeing him in jail. Ronnie. Thank you. I was just irritated at every week them highlighting him in jail and showing the latest jail episode. I was like, is he coming home or no?
Right.
So I was glad to see that he came home, and not sure how he managed that, but yeah, it was very intriguing.
Lauren, go ahead.
I loved it as well. I feel like we got to see a lot of different storylines from the different characters. Mm-hmm. I feel like overall, I got some good information. I feel like I'm invested too. I want to see some things happen a little more with Emmett and his character growth. So I was very happy with what we were given.
Chef?
Yeah, so this episode provided a lot of different topics and angles, from, like I said, the black man in the inner city of Chicago to even the joyful side that we got from Picture Day. So it brought up a lot of different conversations that I'm excited about.
Yeah, overall, I loved this episode. And every single episode where they have sort of like the kid storyline running through it, right, I always think creates a good balance to the show.
I agree.
Because it's like, if you have the rough and tough drug dealing Reggie, it's nice to see Jake kind of making it happen in middle school. So that kind of balances out the episode for me, which I really think kind of gives you a break from sort of some of the some of it is over dramatic.
Right.
But the dramatic, the drama of the episode. So we're going to start off talking about Ronnie. So as Kitty mentioned, yeah, Ronnie is out and about and free walking these streets, which I think is interesting, as we've discussed last week. So his grandmother is happy to see him.
Of course.
And how do you guys, okay, Lauren, let me ask you. Okay. You know, Kitty is happy that he's out. How do you feel about Ronnie kind of like just out and about running these streets, free as a bird?
I'm not happy. And actually, someone in the live chat, Venus, said that she thinks Ronnie should have stayed in jail longer. And I completely agree. He was in there for, what, 2-3 episodes? That is not long enough for shooting.
For murdering
for
a 16-year-old.
Yes. No, I think he should have stayed in a little bit longer. I knew he was going to get out. We all knew he was going to get out.
Right.
But I think they should have not so much highlighted his jail story, but they could have even referenced him or did a little more flashbacks, but not showed him there, you know, making the pooch or hooch, sorry. making the hooch and just having a jolly good time in the cell. Like, no, I'm over him.
Okay, Kitty, what are your thoughts?
No, I definitely am happy. I'm only happy to see him out just because that storyline was getting old quick to me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how are they highlighting that he's in jail?
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, there's no other narrative they can utilize. So that was irritating. So that's the only reason that I'm just glad that he's out and able to function back in society and to see what happens. I love that interaction between him and the woman on the street and seeing how you think that this is like easy. You think you're just going to come home and what, we're going to welcome you with open arms? No, there are consequences for your actions. And if jail isn't going to keep, we still don't know why he's been let out, but whatever allowed him to be out is not a pass. You know what I mean? Don't look at this as an opportunity for you just to have a hall pass and just go back to normal. It's not.
Well, you know, she was a little brave for spitting on him because he murdered a child. Like, you're going to spit on me.
But she a black woman. You know how we do.
He had a whole armful of groceries, so he wouldn't have caught her too quick.
I mean,
she could have spit and ran.
Yeah. It was a little bold, though. But yeah, I guess.
Yeah, chef.
Right. But, I mean, I guess I am not necessarily happy to see him out, but him being in jail kind of gave him the structure that he lacked out of prison.
Good point.
Like, he had, I guess, from the military and the way he came up, he was used to a certain routine to where you see after the PTSD that he got from the war, him being an alcoholic on the streets, he was just moving very wayward. Mm-hmm. So that did give him some type of structure until his grandmom got attacked. So now he's trying to find that structure out of the prison, but I don't know if he found, like, that balance yet.
Yeah, and I do feel like my issue, I'm glad he's out to some extent, because even though I thought it was crazy how easily he got out of jail, out of prison, without a trial, without a hearing, without nothing.
That was crazy.
But then again, he was footloose and fancy free in prison. Right. So I've seen like Oz, I've seen all these, you know, Cell Block, all these prison movies, even the Orange is the New Black that go through more.
Yeah.
So I was like, he was like kicking it in prison, making liquor.
Right.
He was like hanging out with, he's cool with the white supremacists. He didn't get in any fights. I mean, so.
That he's running things. He got a job.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Really?
Exactly. So he was kind of kicking it in jail anyway. So, now he's out. And so I have a photo here. The first picture is of Emmett and Jada. So when he first gets out, he's kind of, this is the moment where he says to her, I'm going to make it right. And so my question is to you, Chef.
Oh, Ronnie. Ronnie and Jada.
I'm sorry, Ronnie and Jada. Can Ronnie make it right?
No, he can't. The only thing that he can do is work on himself, but as far as everyone who he's negatively impacted in the city of Chicago, the people who clearly know he did it because he admitted to it, I don't think you can necessarily heal that pain. Like, that pain doesn't go anywhere, especially from someone whose son is very close to the age of Coogie. Like, Jada's not hearing any of that, so even if he got a key to the city, it's still like, no, but you still added to everything that was already, that plagued this city. Like, you didn't.
That was to the detriment.
Right, to the detriment of it. So I say no.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't, to me, he hasn't paid his debt.
No,
at all.
And it's kind of like, I get that your grandmother was abused, but you have to do some sort of penance or whatever. And maybe he will. But so far, it's kind of like, okay, I'm going to go clean up the house.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'll just get back to norm. I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it.
Well, like, he went back to Tracy, too. Like, of course you're going to go back to her, you know?
Okay,
Tracy is not having
him. Let's move on to that. So he does go and, outside of cleaning up the home, he goes and sees Tracy.
Right.
And personally for me, this episode, because Tracy honestly has been getting on my nerves like from jump.
From the start.
Because she's kind of like has edged him on to do crazy stuff.
Right.
She's just never been supportive. Even back the flashbacks, she is just totally sort of irritated.
Yeah.
Me. Or maybe they haven't shown us enough of her.
Right.
But this, when she finally broke down and cried, I was like, oh, okay, so you're not just a bee. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So to me, I really enjoyed the scenes with Tracy and him at least trying to help her get past her grief.
Yeah.
So Kitty Kaboom, I'll throw it at you. How do you feel about Tracy overall? And did this episode change your views of her?
No, it most certainly did. I feel just like you did. I really didn't like her from Jump Street. I felt like she was manipulative. And I understand she's in a great deal of pain. I can't even fathom what losing a child feels like. So to go through, kind of run the gamut of emotions and feel like this one day and then another, you know, another day, I totally get it. Right. But I just think that she's from day one been shiesty. Like she's not been on the up and up, with not even with herself. I don't think she's being honest with herself about what her feelings are and what can help her heal. She's just kind of messy. She's a mess. Like, I hope somebody steps in and kind of helps her. And I don't mean Ronnie, because he's not the one that needs it. Although he did pour out the liquor. I meant to make mention of that. I like that fact that he poured that out. That's like a step in the right direction.
I agree. More.
Okay, I agree with you guys. She annoyed me from the beginning. She kind of has like this negative attitude, and yes, she is sad, but it's just like, gosh, like, be happy. Get out the house.
Right, do something.
You know, something. And I guess she tried to make an effort when she went and saw the grandchild. So maybe that will be what will bring her out of this dark place.
Right.
But unless they turn her character around and show us something positive, then I just kind of don't really care for her much.
Right. She answered the door looking crazy.
Yes, she looked rough.
I mean, she did lose her kid, y'all. Like, that is traumatic.
Okay, but wait, how long ago in the storyline did she, you know what I mean? I'm not ever saying that a time will heal, but I'm just saying the storyline, I would have thought they would have progressed a little more with her and not just be like,
I agree.
She's in the same place as she was the last time we saw her.
Exactly.
Right, I see what you're saying. And to me, I think my biggest issue with Tracy was what she brought out in Ronnie, because consistently she egged him on to do things that were like crazy. So mm-hmm. in the beginning, you know, in the flashbacks, it's all of her. She needs money. She needs support. All this other stuff is driving him to drink. And pretty much it was her, you know, igniting him to end up killing Coogie.
Yeah.
So to me, that was what irritated me more so with her. I mean, she has a lot of other issues, but to me, the way she rode him always led him to the dark side.
You know, I never thought about that, because it's the pressure that was put onto him from Tracy, from society, that kind of pushed him to do these different things. Now, I know we all have free will, but mm-hmm. if you think about it, getting out the war, wanting to get a job for his woman, and then after finding out that Jason passed away, wanting to mitigate this situation, it all came from that pressure.
Right, but to me, a lot of that pressure came directly from her.
No, that's what I'm talking about. From Tracy.
Yeah, I think
from
Tracy. Agreeing, yeah.
And directly from Tracy. Especially when she was like, what are you going to do?
Right.
You know, she point blank told him pretty much to kill.
She really
and
did.
And clearly he was caught up. Like, he wanted to be with her so badly, whatever she said
Exactly. And that has been consistent in their relationship. So what I like about this episode, and I have a picture of it here, is this is the one time for me that she sort of, her grief allowed Ronnie to step up, and this is the first time we kind of see him being a mature and better person.
Yeah.
And he pushes her to go visit her granddaughter,
right,
Jordan, which I think is so super cute.
I did like that.
And
that
is beautiful.
Yeah, so this was a great scene, I felt, for both Tracy and Ronnie, because mm-hmm. we finally see Ronnie, like, manning up
right
after, like, forever.
Yeah, exactly. And he was being compassionate. Yeah, he was being compassionate to someone besides his grandmother.
Exactly.
So I liked
and
that.
And appearing to have empathy.
Exactly.
And pushing her to do something to make things better, as opposed
overall,
to kind of
just
letting her lead him and mm-hmm. stuff. So I really liked that that scene for both of their characters. Let's move on to the cutest player in the world. You gotta love you some Emmett, the hustler bustler. Okay.
So. Emmett's my guy.
I love Emmett.
He's such a cutie pie. Exactly. He's the player you love to hate. So, all right. So in this episode, there's a few little cute scenes, but Emmett is taking control of Sonny's as of last week, mm-hmm. and clearly Emmett doesn't realize that you don't pour water on a gas fire. So he is not quite burnt down Sonny's, but close. So he has to get his hustle on and integrate. So I love the way they cross the storylines between Emmett and Brandon.
Mm-hmm. That's cute.
Yeah, I did.
I thought that
so
was adorable.
I loved that. So. Chef, what do you think about, once again, every episode, no matter how trifling he is with women, Emmett is going to hustle.
Yes.
And he's not selling drugs. He's going to find a way to make some money.
Yeah.
So, Chef, what do you think about Emmett's hustle?
I think this was perfect for them to kind of join forces because they both are like fixers, like trying to fix the situation.
Right.
Emmett's trying to fix his financial situation because he has a baby mother, and we already know how much Tiff is on him, or three baby mothers, but the main one. And then you have Brandon, who's trying to get this food thing going on. And I don't think they necessarily highlighted it too much, but when he said, you don't got an Instagram, a Snapchat is a new day and age. So even Emmett's basically trying to say, you need me.
Exactly.
I need you. Right. Let's make it happen. So I thought that was very on point.
Yeah, I thought originally that Emmett was going to be like, so I'll do your marketing. Because clearly, I thought so too. I thought that's what
maybe
he was going
to
go with.
Maybe he's going to do that in addition to it. I see it going that road, which I thought was so smart of them to be able to do that. Because he's not even like he's an old guy for Brandon.
Yeah, he's young.
Right, Brandon's young. But Brandon is so focused on that dollar and making a way. You know what I mean? Plus, he's back in the home with his girl. Mm-hmm. So he feels an obligation to hold her down. Yeah, she does well. Her parents are well off. So he already knows that she's going to be taken care of. But the last thing he wants to do is look like a loser or like he's not a man enough to be, you know, to bring home the bacon, so to speak, right, in that household, especially after they don't already broke up and did their thing and then came back. I think he has a lot to prove.
I agree. Now I have a picture here of Brandon, which, okay, I wouldn't know everyone's opinion on this. Okay, so I have a photo here of Brandon giving his keys to the truck to Emmett.
Can you believe
it? Okay, now I have to say this off the top, and I will ask everybody's opinion, and especially when Emmett was like, oh, it's just tacos, I'm like, you just burned down a store.
Okay.
So I am not relying on you. Right, because the whole time I was like, oh, he's going to have Emmett, because since the other guy, Louise, couldn't help him, right, I'm like, he's going to have Emmett work.
Yes.
And I was like, wait, you giving him keys, and you know he just set fire to a store?
Well, not intentionally, but still, he's a screw-up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He can't run a whole store.
Yes, restaurant.
But, okay. So, all right. So, Laura, let me ask you, because I thought this is, I mean, I love Emmett. I love Brandon. I love the idea of them working together. Absolutely.
But
giving him keys, I thought was cray-cray.
Yes, think, I definitely thought he was going to be like his apprentice, like help me make the tacos or get the money, something. When he literally handed him the keys, I'm like, does he know anything about your taco truck? And then the way he did it so effortlessly, it's like, we haven't seen them cross paths a lot, so how do you just trust someone with your entire business? And you still don't even have a car insurance, or, you know, you don't have your license or insurance for the car. So I'm like, you're just willing to give over your business like that?
But that speaks volumes to who he is. He flies by the seat of his pants on a lot of occasions. And I think that's what led to his demise in the restaurant business before he got let go before. You know what I mean? Him sleeping with that girl. He makes decisions based on emotion. And I'm not saying that he's not a man's man. You know what I'm saying? He's not soft or anything.
Right. But he's a spur of the moment kind of guy.
He's like, oh, red is blue? All right, well then here, blue is red.
Okay, you know what Chef, I mean? Chef, can you save us? Can you show us? Do you have an explanation for this?
Well, what I saw in Brandon's character in this specific scene is that he was desperate. His passion, like you said, very emotional, is leading him to the competition, but at the same time, he still needs to bring in money because this is his mainstream of income. So he's like, crap, me being a problem solver, trying to fix everything, what can I do? Oh yeah, there's that young kid named Emmett. Let me just take a shot in the dark at this. Mm-hmm. So that was purely off of emotion, but mainly just being desperate.
Yes.
And that's an emotional thing. Said. Desperation is emotion.
Yeah, definitely.
He definitely does not weigh his pros and cons and write out the, you know, the break it down and what makes the most sense.
Or my thing, and I guess what I expected was okay, so maybe he can't be there because he's doing the contest or whatever. I'll cut him some slack on that competition. So I'll cut him some slack on that. But when he was like, well, let me show you, and Emmett was like, no, it's just tacos, I still would have been like, dude, you set fire to a place. I will show you how to run my show.
You better do it the right way.
I'm going to show you anyway.
Right.
So that was kind of my little thing. Like, I was like, he's still going to show him, right? And
yeah,
then he just did it. I was like, oh, okay, well.
Maybe he did. They just cut scenes, so we didn't see.
Yes, we're assuming that they cut that.
Yeah, we'll assume that.
They
gave him a little tutelage.
Exactly.
We only get an hour.
Exactly. So, okay, so so what did you guys think about Emmett's meetup with Tiffany again?
So that was something. Me personally, I thought it was about to get spicy again. Like, I thought it was about to turn up just like last episode, but you could kind of see that that was maybe like a, not a one time
thing. It was a one off.
But it's kind of like, look, that was business, but I still need that money.
That
like,
wasn't business. No, that was pleasure.
But now it's back business. But on the business side, like, I still need you to bring in that money. All exactly. this that you're going through, that's cool cute. And all, mm-hmm. but still bring me, run me my money.
That's right. I got a child to raise. And I think she makes a valid point.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes, she does. Yes, she does. But my thing is, like, she just seems like money hungry. Like, she let him see him once. I guess that's my thing. Get your money. Yeah, you need help support. But, like, you're not even going to let Emmett come in and see little EJ?
I think that speaks volumes to her age, which is really sad. But when you're young like that, that's what happens. You are saying that one thing begets the other when one mm-hmm. thing has absolutely nothing to do with the other. Whether he's able to provide, and if he's willing and he's doing what he can to provide, if it's not what you're accustomed to or what y'all agreed upon, being able to sit down like a mature adult and see and say you still have the ability to see your child right. should be paramount. I'm a mom, you know what I mean? And I don't care what my son's father did. At the end of the day, if he wanted a relationship with his kid, and my son wanted a relationship with him, I was going to foster that in by any means necessary. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And our stuff could be compartmentalized someplace else. We can deal with that in another boat. But right. you won't come see your baby.
Exactly.
Russell Wilson said it best, but anyways, I digress.
Exactly. Like, one thing I think, first of all, if he had not opened with, I ain't have a job, he might have gone a little bit easier in the bedroom. Right. That's the first
probably.
Thing.
Right, probably.
You know, had you slipped through some cash, got some, and then said you didn't have a job, things could be different.
I agree.
That would be true. One thing. And the second thing, I just want to say, the attorney in me, shout out to all the fathers out there. You don't have to beg your baby mama. You can file a motion yourself Amen. To say your pay went down or you lost your job and get your child support reduced.
Fact.
Yeah. So that's the one thing I think with this show that's so kind of... And I guess that is how the court systems are skewed towards women. The mother. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, he don't need to keep begging her. He could go into court himself the same way she did. So that's the part I don't get.
Yeah, that's where it comes in where he is a little lazy, as you had mentioned in episode one, because he could Google this himself and see it. And just how she set up the meeting with the attorney, he could go find one too.
Right.
You know, exactly. or a mediator, but exactly. she definitely was and more in favor of him.
And that, again, speaks to age yeah. and experience. They just probably don't know any better. The yeah. fact that she has her own apartment blows me away, that she's able to pay
See,
rent
See, that's what I'm wondering. How is she doing this?
She working it out.
But you know what?
That's what we do.
But then my thing is, he should know this because his parents are divorced. His mom gets, he wasn't aware that his mom was receiving child support. But you would think, like, his mom would kind of give him some game on the, you know, on the situation at hand.
For many times, his mother probably attempted to give him some game. We're talking about Emmett here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She couldn't even get him out of bed
so
when
she'd
told
him
three times, I'm literally moving out of this home. You don't see me packing. And he wanted to stay knocked out. And come on now.
All right, you guys. So that's a perfect segue to Emmett and Emmett's parents. And I have a pic of them right here. I call this pic Mommy and Daddy. And so Emmett's father, which is hilarious to me because Emmett is 17, so he should only be paying child support for one more year anyway. If your children are in college. So if Emmett were to choose to go to school, then he could pay until about 26. But
26.
Oh, yeah, if they're in college, if they're an undergrad. So Emmett's father here goes to Jada, and I love it when she tries to get all cute and stuff. I thought he was going to hit it for like a minute until he asked for money. Yeah. And that's like, right? She gives him the coffee and then he's like, yeah, look, I'm going to need you to put up
I
some money.
I can't believe he pulled that.
The nerve
of this man. Especially after y'all just had a kumbaya moment as Emmett so nicely, Emmett nicely pointed out. So these three new baby mamas is like y'all all in cahoots and having one big happy family and you raising the kids,
but
right?
Wait,
and,
but wait, did y'all hear him say he has three before Emmett as well?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But my point is his relationship with them and how he treats them is far different. Why does he single her out as the one that she's supposed to give him money?
And not only that, he was saying, I need money for electricity and X and Z. And she's right. like, yeah, I know I've been supporting him my whole life, his whole 17 years. But then on top of that, this man has been with you for 2 weeks. Right. You got, like you said, three other kids from three different baby mamas. Mm-hmm. Why aren't you asking them for,
right. why
you
are
know,
you not in their grill?
Some child support, electricity money.
All right. You guys, Chef Beans, save us.
No, no, I was there.
We need the man's perspective. Save us and explain to us.
I want
to
hear what the people have to say too.
Thank you.
What I just noticed is Emmett is his father's son, because the same way Emmett looked at Tiffany when he got to her house is the same way the father looked at Jada. That's the first thing that I pointed out. But he's always been pretty transparent, whether he's speaking to Emmett or anybody. So I'm not surprised what transpired in the scene. The only thing is, I was even shocked with him asking for money, because I didn't know he was trying to foster something back up with that conversation that Emmett and him had outside. Mm-hmm. But now I was taken back as well. But I'm not surprised. The same way how Emmett is acting with the 2 seconds that he actually had his one-on-one time with his son, and Tiffany's like, well, I've been taking care of him this age, is the same way the father's acting. Like, they're doing a good job of showing them how they're cut from the same cloth.
That's a very good point.
But this is my thing. The Emmett's dad, yes, he's been staying on your couch for 2 weeks or whatever, but the first night he was there, he took his pair of Jordans. Now he's taking the Malaysian bundle.
Right. Like, you told him to pay rent. So it's like, you told him to pay rent. What do you expect her to... Now she got to pay for food? What
the bundles, you know, bundles are expensive. Hell, I know, you know, Jordans are expensive. So how much more money do you want?
But you got to think, a lot of times, dude, just try to get that old thing back. Like, we saw the way he was looking at Jada. Like, it could have just been his attempt, like... Oh, what's going on?
No, he wanted the money.
But I'm saying it can also be a way for you to get that old thing, because he wasn't sure how she was going to respond.
Mm-mm. Here's the thing. I agree with you. The first, if he had the same way I said with Emmett, if you hit it first and then come up with this nonsense afterwards, then it works differently. Because she was cute. She was wearing a little robe. She made sure she took her scarf off. She was ready. Thank you. We all know she hadn't dated anybody in 5 years. So she would have been ready had he not said, you need to give me some money. He should have held that off a little bit later. But I agree with you. There was definitely that sexual chemistry, and it was quick, and it was a moment. But, you know.
Yeah, I do have to shout out Venus in the chat. She is going
What's Venus talking about?
She's agreeing, disagreeing. She thinks Daryl, which is Emma's father, feel like, you know, Emmett owes him something for living with them. She said Jada don't want Daryl.
That's right.
She's going in. So yes, thank you.
She don't want no parts of that.
Venus.
Thank you,
Venus.
Shout
out to Venus.
Appreciate you.
All right, you guys. All right, we'll move quickly to the kids. I love them. So let's show. So today is picture day, which was so cute. So I have a couple of pictures of the kids. My two favorite, Big Papa.
Right.
I love when you call me Big Pop. I'm sorry. Okay. Excuse me, guys. I'm not a rapper, but. I love his outfit. I love his character.
Oh, he's so much fun.
He's so good. And he brings sort of like a Christian lightness to everything. I love that.
But there's always a fine line. That's what makes it so dope. It's like he's the Christian kid, but he's also like, I'll play in this little dirt with you for a minute, but I'm going to go back over here.
Exactly.
And get my prayer on.
The second fashionista, Maisha.
Yes. She got someone in Malaysian bundles too.
Forget the bundles. You can't go nowhere without your fairy dust.
Yes. Right.
And that's black girl magic right there, baby.
Black girl magic.
Fact.
Hashtag black girl magic.
Yeah.
So we love it. So the kids are coming together. And what's so interesting about the kids scene is that we start to see a little bit more of Jake
in this episode,
and a little bit more of kind of the dark path that Jake is going on, which to some extent it seems like Reggie isn't really
doesn't want him to do it, pushing him
as hard as we thought. He's not stopping him, but he's still like trying to make Jake toe the line school-wise.
Right. Yeah, but that's just to save his own ass. It's not because he wants him to be have an education.
I think he can be
or
both.
Better himself.
I think Reggie has his love. I think so too.
As soon as he said, you need to keep your ass in them books, he followed it right up with, because I don't need nobody.
DFS.
Up my butt, exactly. Yeah. I don't think that he has a sincere bone in his body for his brother or anybody else, for that matter. He disgusts me.
Right.
And speaking to the kids real quick, I love that they, just as you said at the top of the show, that they show that balance with the kids, because these are children.
Yes.
So he threw that milk thing, I thought it was going down, guns was about to be drawn, and it turns into a food fight. How fun is that?
Right.
Kids, not gangsters.
That was totally adorable.
That was adorable.
I did feel like that was one of the most kid-like scenes we've seen
between
them.
They totally need that to balance it out. There's so much hatred. They are literally trying to kill each other. And they're like 13, 14 years old.
14, yeah.
It's crazy.
And also I will point out, too, what's interesting is, well, two things. One is that the other gang members and their little brothers, and so it seems like, I want to say it's 33rd Street, which is still actually the South Side, but the way they make it seem on the episode is that that's a West Side gang, which is still interesting because I'm like, realistically, West Side kids probably wouldn't go to middle school with South Side kids, but whatever. Right. I still love you guys. And but what, so I think what they were alluding to is that the West Side gang knows that Reggie was the one that robbed him. No, that's definitely what I think those kids were talking about.
Mm. No, they definitely know that because he brought it up. He said, my brother knows
what you,
my brother knows. So
I didn't even
right,
get
and
that
that's
one.
What I thought he was referring to, the robbery. Is that what you thought?
Yeah, the robbery. Yeah. When they came in and took
made him
the
get room. Naked. The naked right. robbery. That's right. what we'll call it.
That right. makes, I didn't even everything think about that.
Everything was connected.
That.
So yeah. that's where it's growing up from.
Well, you know what I noticed though, since we're talking about the other gang, the West Side gang, their boys are down. They're ready to fight. They got his back. And Jake, even though I don't condone it, but like, dang, Jake's boys, they like, nah, we ain't fighting. I'm like, well, Jake, you by yourself.
Well,
so
see, he's running around getting tattoos. Jake's a mess.
Right, but here's the thing with that. I'm not sure about that. I mean, they told Jake to do what was right, but I'm not convinced by any means that if they jumped on Jake, that Papa and Kevin would just stand there. Right. I think they all would fight. Absolutely. I think they would fight.
I think they would, but they show acting like they don't
they
have
scared.
His back. Yeah, like
yeah.
they're scared.
Well, see, I don't think so, because at the end of the day, when the teacher came down to Jake and the other gang member, or gang member's brother, however you want to put it, and he asked Kevin, who did it? Kevin took the... Kevin
he didn't
fell.
Want to snitch.
But that's because Kevin is a stand-up guy.
Well, I think...
That's because he loves Jake.
I think, yeah, one, exactly. he definitely loves Jake. He didn't want to get Jake in trouble, but I also think he didn't want to snitch on the other gang member because he might get
yeah,
jumped after.
But
yeah.
at the end of the day, Jake started it. Jake was the one who threw the food, so he would have had to snitch on his boy.
And that's not happening. He's not going
to
do that.
I think fundamentally, Jake went to him and said, thank you, I'm glad you have my back, and I think he does. But we'll see. We'll talk about that on predictions. All right. So moving right along here. So, the last thing I want to talk about on the kids note is Kevin and Keisha have this really touching moment because we find out that Kevin isn't speaking to the dad and right. when, Keisha's going to go to dinner, but Kevin's not having it. And so when he comes home, he finds out that his father had a heart attack
and passed.
What?
Go ahead.
Well, with that, that's just like, you know, well, what I noticed, older sibling, younger sibling, just two different relationships with the older father. Because as you can see, Kevin was very passive with it. Like, not as sobby, but Keisha was going through it. So that was just very telling to me. I don't know if he was younger, if this was around the time when his parents split and then right. his mom started messing with another woman. You can just tell that Kevin is just kind of like, okay.
Yeah, he wasn't there for Keisha as much as I wanted. Like, he took a whole, like, 5-minute pause before he even came and sat by her. I was like, this is
his sister. Not that guy, though. He's not that guy. You know he's not.
And then I have a
he thinks he's like a little thug.
I feel like with what he went through, he could be a little softer.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen that, but I think that it was true to his character, the fact that he was a little... He's just... what's the word? Disassociated.
All right, that's it. Don't
worry. Distanced. Yeah. Definitely.
All right, you guys, oh my gosh, there's so much on this episode. Okay, so let's move on to Reggie really quick. Reggie and the gang and the 63rd Street Mob. So Reggie finally meets Detective Toussaint, and that is the picture that I have for you now. And so it's interesting. Toussaint, she arrests Big Mike in an effort to put pressure on Reggie. Mm-hmm. Kitty, what are your thoughts about her tactics to get more information?
I think that's smart. I think that talking to him nice and kind and cuddly ain't gonna do nothing. Reggie's not that type. He's not gonna hear that. And he needs to be known. It needs to be said that her presence is there, that she is not gonna let up, that if you want something from me, you want your boy back, I'll give you your boy back. You give me something because this is what I need in order for my job to flourish. And if you don't want me to come for you and mess up your whole situation, then I suggest you work with me. I like that she put her presence out there without being, I mean, she was a bit of a B, but she didn't take it to the bridge. Like, she didn't lock him up. You know what I mean? She didn't
exactly.
take it to the bridge.
Exactly. But I think, unfortunately, it ended up into them, you know, he just sends little Big Man in anyway. So he sends in someone to kind of... like cop to it, who didn't even do it.
Right.
So it could have gone, I think, totally whack. All right, so all right, let's see. What are we gonna do? Okay. I know. Oh my gosh. Ah, The countdown. Okay. So the way it ends is we find out, and I was totally surprised by this. So Lauren, did you really think, because originally Miss Ethel was like, Reggie didn't do it. Did you really think that they were behind it? So we find out when Reggie meets with Duda Perry, who's also the pizza guy from Picture Day. He meets with Duda, and that's when we find out that they actually were behind her beating.
What do you think about that? I was so shocked. I did not see that one coming.
Me either.
Because they didn't allude to it at all. We thought it was maybe the white lady trying to get them out the house, or then I forgot what our other theory was.
Right.
But it was not Reggie at all. And then he even said, I know her. I would have never done this if I'd known it was her house. So I was like, dang, like, what's really going on? Because now, since Duda's behind it, I have no idea. Does he have some connection to Ronnie? Like, you know what I mean? What is really going on?
Exactly. And I have a picture here of Duda at that moment when he tells him, which is so frightening, time to get ready, time to soldier up.
Yes.
So, boom on Duda.
Yeah.
Well, what I know, a lot of people who, well, let me just structure this right. People who sell drugs to the highest level, they have certain businesses so they can wash their money.
Of course.
We noticed that he has a pizza business or whatever going on. And if this is real estate / gentrification that they're trying to do in this area, he could be in cahoots with that whole political, like, system. I don't know. I see... Duda.
Okay, all right, well, we'll save some of that for the predictions.
Yeah.
Let's save it. Okay, so before we go, let's just wrap things up really quickly with Brandon and Jerrica.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. But before we do Brandon and Jerrica, go ahead, Katie.
I just wanted to tell you guys something really, really quickly. We just want to really tell you how grateful we are. Honestly, we wanted to say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. And for us to continue to grow, we genuinely need your help. So help us out. Please subscribe to us on YouTube. Give us a rating on iTunes. That means 5 stars. Leave us a comment. Bye, we people. love engaging with you. And being a part of AfterBuzz has meant really so much to all of us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. So thank you all for supporting us and doing what we absolutely love. Hosting is our passion, and hopefully you enjoy watching us. Get it on.
Okay, you guys. So, and this is actually a great way to end this up, is Brandon and Jerrica. So we see Jerrica dealing with kind of what you mentioned earlier about gentrification and the alderman versus her client, Mrs. Brown. Mrs. Brown wants rich people, which probably means some white. And the alderman wants some of this community to remain low-income housing. And we see them protesting. And so it's an interesting scene. And they do touch on it lightly. And Lauren, what do you think about sort of the gentrification issue?
You know, I mean, I've seen gentrification happen in Austin, Texas, where I went to school. But, I mean, it's a part of we see it here in LA, too. It's unfortunate. But, I mean, when Jerrica took the job, she knew from the jump that Miss Brown said she does not want low income. I'm not saying it's right, but she knew what she signed up for. So you need to respect your client's wishes and do the job that you signed up for if you want that multi-million contract. Now, her discussion with the politician, I get it. He hates to see his community like go down like that. But I mean, maybe they could go around the block somewhere.
No, there's a happy medium there.
Yeah.
There's a happy medium. They just have to be able to see it. Miss Brown doesn't come off as the type to meet you halfway.
It's kind of my way or her way or get out.
Exactly. So that's going to present the problem.
So we'll see how that goes. So we'll end it up with Brandon shutting it down, woo-woo, and going to the semifinals without a plate. I thought, Chef Beans, you're the chef in the house. We'll let you give us your thoughts on family-style eating.
No, family-style eating. I thought that was very great how he used that ingenuity because he didn't have his plates. And being under that pressure, he could have easily folded, especially when he felt the tap on his shoulder. He's like, bang.
I thought he was out.
No, me too. But I like how he just rolled with the punches and made it more passionate and personal to how he's even gotten up to that point. So I knew they were going to love him off of it. I wasn't surprised at all.
Cool. All right, you guys, that's the episode. But before we go, Lauren has some hot news and gossip for you.
All right.
Okay, guys, really quick. Jacob Lattimore actually dropped a new song with Trevor Jackson. It's called True ish. I can't say the real word, but you know,
you actually can.
Oh, I didn't know we could do that on here. But yes, that I have a picture up of their Instagram. You should go check it out. It seems like a fun little song.
Cutie pies.
Yeah, they're both really cute, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. Next up is Jason. He posted a picture of Andrea Lando, which was one of his co-stars in Superfly, and he called her Bay. This could be speculation. This is why we call it gossip. But, you know, she put some heart emojis under there. I don't really know if they got anything going on. But, you know, this is the Latina love going on. And then last but not least, our girl Tiffany Boone. I found out she's actually married to Marquis Richardson, which he plays on Dear White People. So I thought that was beautiful. Black love, black power, go, go.
Yay, yay, yay. All right, you guys. So before we get out of here, we're going to do our special segment, which is Chi-Town Highlights.
Beautiful.
All right, you guys. So tonight what we're highlighting is the Pullman Porters. In Brandon's discussion to the judges, he said his grandfather was a Pullman Porter. So for those of you who don't know, the Pullman Porters were porters that were kind of hired right after slavery. And so they were hired to work on the trains, and they are contributors to the development of the black middle class. So especially after slavery and prior to the civil rights movement, they were kind of the money makers. They helped in community development, etc. Famous porters are Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall and former San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown were also descendants of Pullman Porters.
Nice.
And then actually the Porters in Chicago, there's an area called Pullman where they all built their own homes. And they were kind of like the beginning of the black middle class in the like early 1920s up until. And they were also the founders of the first black union.
Wow.
And, you know, and they were porters for the railroad up until 1968.
Very nice.
Yes.
Yay. All right, you guys. Before we absolutely go. Starting with Kitty, we're going to blast it quickly. What are your predictions?
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Ooh. I think that there's something that's going to happen. I don't know exactly what that's kind of take. What is, it's not Rodney. It's not Emmett. It's
Reggie.
Brandon. Brandon's girlfriend. What's her name?
Jerrica.
Yeah, Jerrica. Thank you. I see something happening that's going to kind of have Jerrica kind of shook up. I don't know what it would be, but I just think that things are so smooth for her that there has to be something that's like a monkey wrench in her happiness.
Wow. Right. Okay.
So I think
cool. See that one. Go ahead, Lauren.
I see Brandon finally winning. I want him to get the biggest W out of the season because he's just been struggling, my poor baby. I want him to win this competition. Hopefully his relationship is good, but if it's not, oh well. Not oh well, but you know, I want him to win. And Reggie. I think Reggie's going to be in trouble. I think he's the one that's going to get shooken up because Duda does not play.
Right.
And he's in some trouble with him. So that's my prediction.
All right, Chef Beans.
Right. I see Duda in his conspiracy, everything that's going on with kicking into people's homes or setting that up. I see politics and Duda and everything all coming together. I think it's a larger picture that we're not privy to yet.
Okay, I agree with Chef Beans. I do feel like Duda, because I still feel like gentrification is the one that beat up Miss Ethel. So Duda is kind of partnering with the white realty people. I do feel like Reggie is going to continue to rise in the gang 63rd mob, so he might take out, maybe he'll take out Duda this season. And then last but not least, as far as we talk about taking out, I feel like somebody's going to take out Ronnie. Because I don't feel like Ronnie is going to be walking free. He's going to get his due, I do believe, by the end of the season.
I wouldn't be sad if that happened.
That is my prediction. All right, you guys, thank you so much for sticking there with us. We know we went a little over, but thank you guys so much. It was so much fun. We appreciate you. And I'm your host, Erica Edwards. And you can follow me on all of my social media at Erica, E-R-I-K-A-D as in door, Edwards.
And I am at Chef _Beans with the Z on all social media platforms.
And you can find me, Lauren Hubbard, at Lauren the Truth.
My name is Kitty Kaboom. You can find me on Instagram at KITTIEKABOOM, and everywhere else, you'll figure it out.
All right, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We love you all. Like, comment, subscribe, give us a thumbs up.
Yeah.
5 stars, all that good stuff. And we will see you here again next week. Same time, same place. Ciao for now, folks.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.